Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Too big to fail, but what if you get close to falling out of the financial window and landing on the hard pavement like Lehman Brothers did 4 years ago? Well, nine of America's biggest banks are being asked to have an answer for this end-of-life question, to submit plans for how they could be dismantled by the government if the bank was near default. The proposals are a sort of living will for banks, and here to talk about them is Amy Friend. She's managing director of Promontory Financial Group and was the chief counsel to the Senate Committee on Banking during the development of the Dodd-Frank law on bank and financial regulations. She was there on the Senate committee staff. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
Do the banks really call these living wills, or is that something that, you know, lawmakers come up with?
Well, it's a colloquialism. They're actually formally known as resolution plans.
I love that. Thanks for the real nomenclature. Is really the idea here to look at some very hard questions for institutions that might actually be too big to fail?
Yes, I would say think of a living will or a resolution plan as two things. One, it's a comprehensive roadmap to the company. So it shows its structure, its operations, its funding, its lines of business, its legal entities. And then it's also a how-to guide to dismantle the company in a rapid and orderly manner in the event the unthinkable happens, which would be its failure or its demise.
Now, in your practice, Amy Friend, are these kinds of circumstances, strictly speaking, anticipatable in times of financial crisis? I mean, is it simple as, in case of really bad day, email this document?
Well, it's not that simple, and these documents are quite long. They can be hundreds of pages long because these institutions are large, they're interconnected, they're complex. But I think what Congress was trying to say is, we saw what happens when you don't plan, and we don't want to go through that again. So let's try it differently. Let's both try to plan and try to make these organizations a little less complex so that if the, again, unthinkable happens, that there's a way, sort of a roadmap as to how to take them apart. It won't be easy. It won't be easy, but it's better than what we faced 4 years ago.
So what specifically about the Lehman collapse would this address and prevent from happening?
Well, there's multiple parts of the law that would address Lehman, right? There's not just one thing. But the system was not prepared for a collapse of Lehman. Nobody had really played out that scenario at all. So this is one way of playing out the scenario. And then the law also puts in place this mechanism for the government to systematically and safely unwind a big company like a Lehman that takes into account financial stability. Lehman, there was nothing other than bankruptcy, and we see that the bankruptcy continues to be a messy process. So this addresses that problem.
You know, you remind us of how much the language has changed. I remember 4 years ago, and I'm sure you do as well, so many of the commentators were, you know, talking about what was going on, but you'd often have paragraphs that would end with, but it's not like Lehman's going to just collapse kind of thing. That was the way people actually thought. In many ways, this is a structured way of reminding ourselves that people actually do think now that things can collapse. There's no sort of absolute, well, it's impossible for Goldman to collapse scenario, but this is an orderly way to really think about things that now are on everybody's mind.
Well, that's right. And this is one of the ways of addressing too big to fail, right? This is a way of suggesting to the marketplace that these companies are not going to be propped up. And so you better take a good, hard look at these companies. And there is this organized way to let them fail without having shocks sort of ripple through the financial system, which is what we saw during the crisis. And you remember that companies like AIG, which were so interconnected, the Federal Reserve Board, et cetera, were just too concerned about letting it fail because of its consequences, the sort of knock-on effects. So this is supposed to address that.
Part of the problem here, though, is 4 years ago, the credit markets froze up, and so many financial institutions were not even able to make day-to-day decisions because they didn't know if on Monday morning they were going to be able to fund their operations. Corporations were in the exact same boat, but if the credit markets freeze in the way it did 4 years ago, probably the first thing you do is throw a plan like this out the window, yes or no?
Well, that's a good, I mean, it's a good point. So if there's this broad liquidity sort of problem, there are other tools to address it, which is short of having companies actually fail. So the Federal Reserve Board still maintains an authority to come up with the types of programs that it had in place to address those type of emergency situations. But the other thing is that the whole system is changing from what we saw 4 years ago. So there's a new regulatory structure around derivatives, for instance, which was something that was so opaque during the crisis. And again, AIG had written all of these derivatives and had taken these very large positions. So the law is supposed to address that so we don't face those types of problems again, right? Companies didn't trust each other. They didn't trust each other's balance sheets because they didn't know what was on it. So there are a lot of things in place now to address that.
All right. In the last minute, how does this living will not become a kind of document which says shield all of us from liability, take as much money as we can as executives, and walk away from all the really weird stuff like the derivatives?
Well, ultimately, all the executives are and the shareholders are not going to be protected in the event of a failure. And these living wills are documents that institutions put together thinking about how they can actually be systemically unwound without any type of extraordinary government assistance. So everybody's going to take a hit.
All right. Amy Friend, thanks so much for helping us out on that one.
All right, John. Thank you.
Amy Friend is Managing Director of Promontory Financial Group, former Chief Counsel to the Senate Committee on Banking during the development of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill, talking about the big banks asked to have an answer for their end-of-life question coming up with a living will in the case that they actually go bankrupt.